A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Not crazy.
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth. Truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation! We are happy to finally officially be back and all accounted for. Not pointing fingers, but one of us was in the hospital for a week under mysterious circumstances.
Far be it from me to be accusatory, but I feel like you are circling around blaming me, so feel free to go ahead and kiss my ass at any time.
And sadly, like I said, and as you can hear, we're all back.
Hear, hear.
That's right, sir. Sorry, I'm so, I guess happy to be back. I'm laughing at their dumb shit. But it's good to be back, sans pneumonia and still kicking. And I'm going to tell some tales out of school here, kids. We are broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago, with a ghostly tether this week to Mr. David Flora, my partner in crime, my not as sick as me lately co-host. From parts unknown, Colorado.
The ecto to your plasm.
That's, yes, thank you. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's the ecto in my plasm. Why did that go sexual? I'm not sure.
I'm the butter of your cheesecloth.
No shit. How you been, sir? Other than not as sick as me, and I'm going to ride that for a while. Fuck you.
That's fine. I haven't been in the hospital, so I can't counter that. No, I've just been busy. Just stupidly busy.
What are you doing? He's like, I got a meeting now. I got a voiceover thing. I got this, that, and the other. And then tonight I have to stab someone. So can I pencil you in after that? Sure. Sounds good.
Yeah. Well, the stabbing thing's my hobby. I make time for that. So.
Well, you know, when you got a tether from the lower fourth, you know, you gotta tie it onto things like hobbies. Sometimes you got to stab people. You know how it goes.
I'm hopeful that when I do stuff like that, you feel it through that tether.
It's like, get that Tomas rush. And Zaymont, like someone hits you. Ow!
Speaking of tethers, or more aptly, hanging on by a thread, we do have a returning guest this week.
Oh, shit. You're right. I got to hit the button. Actually, you hit it for me, conspiracy bot.
His name is...
Kevin
Crispin.
Did you mean it? Was that a real cheer for me? Yeah, I'm hanging on by less of a thread after that. Now, you know, I feel like I've been brought on here on the episode, Brent, to tell you, to your question, why did that turn sexual? The answer is, have you met Brent Hand?
You know, I think I can do things like that. They don't have to be sexual.
Well, right, but again...
It's just most things I do, people look at me and go, God damn, that guy is sexy. So pretty much anything I do, I can be pumping gas, someone's like... Mm.
Yeah, handle that hose.
Mm. He puts the lead in unleaded. What'd you say there, David? What'd you say?
I said, handle that hose. Spray it.
Uh-oh.
Watch out.
That's how I met Brent, actually.
It's combustible.
Handling the hose?
I was handling a hose, but I was watching Brent handle the hose better.
Now that's high-octane sex.
Now that we've alienated everyone, thank you, Gary in Omaha, for staying on.
Hey, Gary, how you doing, buddy?
Gary.
Oh, my God. So, sir, how you been? We were talking about me being sick and David's busy. What have you been up to?
Just hanging on.
Hanging on by that thread.
By that thread, you know. No, I'm doing the same old man. I'm working on my podcast. You know about it. You produce it. It's called Sad Times.
Yeah, we got a pretty good back catalog going. I'm very proud of you. Like a couple months worth of back, in a good way. That's great.
Yeah. But yeah, if you haven't already, please check it out. SadTimesPodcast.com. It is people telling very difficult stories from their lives, but where appropriate, we do bring in, you know, I try to bring in, or the guest tries to bring in levity to some of the more difficult times. We know that everybody's gone through these difficult times. The goal is for these stories to be told so that, you know, we can all feel a little less weird about talking about our own weird shit. Yeah. So yeah, check us out. Thank you.
Yeah, weird shit is sometimes just talking about it makes it feel better, you know, mm-hmm. or taking feet pics, you know, whatever you're going to do.
What was the second
Which is your new OnlyFans, Kevin's feet, something like org or something. I don't know.
Okay, anyway, .gov.
If you want to hear yourself on here instead of Kevin, I got to get this little housekeeping out. Send us a voicemail, 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. We are overdue. We got one coming up in the next few weeks. We'd like to get some new with the old, so make sure you send us voicemails. And send us your weird stories, weird@hysteria51.com. Coming up on Thanksgiving, my birthday's the 24th, so that's fun.
Ooh, 28.
You know, if you want to get me something, there's a new $150 bottle of Thanksgiving Malort, gentlemen.
Is that right?
It is.
What's in it?
Malort. And then cranberry juice, sage, and David, if you're ready for this, turkey bullion.
Mm.
That's the good bullion.
Whenever I've had Malort before, against my will, which is every time, I could not help but think, you know what this needs? Savory shit.
Turkey bullion. I do have a video of you eating some Vegemite. Man. We should get a Vegemite and Malort party going.
Good Lord. What the fuck?
I don't mind Malort. Vegemite. Lisa likes Vegemite, so we keep it. She eats it on toast.
Know. Yeah. You know, I've had I had one shot of Malort in my life because I lived in Chicago for so long, and people are like, you should do it. I said, I did it. I've done my shot. Thank you.
You have to.
Yeah, I almost threw it up all over the bar, but I did it.
It isn't I don't know that's quite either hate it or don't mind it. I don't know that's a lot of crazy. People that are like, I need that.
I understand.
I need it.
Hell is real.
Hell
is real. talking about things that we need, sometimes you need legal advice. Like if you kill a ghost. We're talking about killing ghosts or not ghosts this week. I got a little disclaimer, whatever you want to call it before we start. If it's a real ghost, I don't think bullets are going to work.
That's the ye of little faith.
Yeah, that sounds like somebody who doesn't opt for the silver bullet.
Oh, option. Son of a bitch. You can buy those. I just saw an ad for him. I think I said to Kevin, you can buy real silver bullets if you like paying for way too much. You know, you can never be too safe, you know, in, you know, dogman / lycanthropy season that is the fall.
Did you say lycanthropy season?
Lycanthropes.
That werewolves. Was pretty good stuff, Brent. Yeah, nice.
You're welcome. I'm gonna put that down on my resume. I got a compliment from Kevin.
Along with you know, multitasker.
Well, you know, I like to have fun. You know, I like to say words like lycanthropy and talk paranormal laws. Mm. I mean, right? That's more fun than that kind of shit, right? Now, fun or not, this week's topic involves ghosts, mistaken identities, legal precedents. Though they were a little late.
All right.
And of course, I like the way you say it best. Say it for me, Mr. Flora.
Murder.
Fuck yeah.
Yes! Murder. That's right. It's ghost story time. Specifically, the Hammersmith ghost. Wait for it. You know what it was? It was a ghost that said it haunted the Hammersmith area of London, England.
Aww.
What's that?
I thought it was literally a ghost that smithed hammers.
Uh-oh.
To sell.
You hear the ghostly tangs of the ting 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 on there. He's making some ghost hammers.
Kong, ting kong ting.
Ghost
kong.
Hammer sounds like a name of some shitty IPA that you don't want to drink, that your buddy brings to your party and leaves, then you feel bad pouring it down the drain 6 months later.
Not that bad.
It should be a name that goes with a good beer.
Speaking of
but
idiots,
it never is it? That's the.
Now you already introduced me, Brent.
I was going to talk about. Do you know what Kevin drinks? He comes home after a hard day work and he drinks a fucking Heineken NA.
0.0, Brent.
Non-alcoholic Heineken. When you hate yourself, and you care enough to spend the worst or to buy the worst. I don't
know. I think that'll work. Mm. We should send that to him.
Sometimes he buys bottles and sometimes he buys cans because I think he likes to switch it up.
I don't. I hate the cans and I just buy the cans if there are no bottles. But the other night I was drinking a couple of Heineken NAs and watching not only Grumpy Old Men, but Grumpier.
We did. We watched Grumpy and Grumpy Old Men. They are dirty movies and it is hilarious.
Burgess Meredith, baby.
I think it's so, just do what I do and call it Heineken Nah.
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 Hey, nah. You want to crack open a couple near beers and watch some 90s comedies? You got it. But they better have Daryl Hannah in it. Hey, Daryl Hannah, I tells you. And I ain't Daryl watching Hanel. Splash. Yeah. So, all right. So we're in England. It's the early 19th century.
Jesus Christ.
And while the story's primarily associated with the Hammersmith ghost murder case, the ghost itself is kind of a fascinating, or the idea of the ghost part of, it's a fascinating part of the story, and we wanted to give it its due here, so we're going to talk about that. And the story goes, for those of you playing along at home, that this bastard was a tall, ghostly figure. We're gonna use
Wait,
the word ghost,
the ghost
a
was a ghostly figure?
Who would have thought? So it's not just a clever name.
This thing writes itself.
Draped in a flowing white sheet that covered its entire body.
Fucking racist ghosts, man. I hate them.
Yeah, right? Like, why is it got to be a covered in a white, a starchy top with two eye holes? It was very weird.
Go ahead, David.
It's another thing they've ruined. Ghosts are all pissed off. They took this from us, too.
You know, why do you think it's called Bed, Bath, and Beyond, buddy? Uh-oh.
Bed, Bath, and Beyond racism.
Yeah, that's where all the ghosts get their sheets. and by the way, we all know that C-Bot doesn't hate racist ghosts.
Maybe he hates racist ghosts because they're treading too close to home for him.
That's probably right.
Or he kills a lot of racists, so they haunt him. I don't know.
Stepping on a lot of toes. I think more of the former.
His silence speaks volumes. Mm-hmm. So this gorgeous racist ghost is said to have two glassy, luminous eyes that glowed in the darkness, and it was reported to have appeared in various locations in Hammersmith, including streets, alleyways, and even the vicinity of the churchyard of St. Paul's Church. Sometimes you gotta haunt a church. I don't know. And these sightings usually occurred after dark, surprise, surprise. And people said they created an atmosphere of fear and paranoia among the local residents. The English, especially at that time, really believed in ghosts, like I think everyone did at that time, you know? And enough for murder, they believed in it, as we're going to find out a little bit later. And this thing was reported to be a silent and eerie presence, like when you see Kevin outside of your window at night, David.
Yeah.
You know? You can see me?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he can, you know? And also not unlike Kevin. Not unlike Kevin. He would often glide or hover rather than just walk.
I mean, wouldn't you?
One would say sachet, yeah. I think, is the proper terminology. Yes.
Sachet away, bitch.
Uh-oh. Hip. Witnesses claim that the ghost would suddenly appear before them, causing them to flee in terror.
Pussies.
They are kind of pussies. You know, or if you ever ride in a car with Kevin, he likes to grab your arm and scream when he sees a sign up in the air or something, like he did to me the other day. I start slamming on the brake. He's like, no, I just saw a sign for a guy that we know. I'm like, thank God.
It's really important. I mean, he almost drove into a Starbucks, just drove right into it. And I was like, no, man, it's just a billboard.
Yeah, but he was very excited about this billboard.
Drive through it, not in it.
Yeah, just drive through. And the house
aim
imploded.
For the back. It's like a punch.
It's like the conspiracy about it. Pussies are not. This caused a public panic, as ghosts are one to do when it's reported everywhere. Awesome. And the ghost appearances led to a climate. We're going to call it a climate of fear and panic in this Hammersmith area. Of course, local newspapers grabbed onto it and they start telling all the sightings. And this fuels the hysteria, if you will. Hey. And people got afraid. They're afraid to go out after dark. And rumors of the ghost that is being malevolent, attacking people, or at least having malevolent intentions, they began to circulate, as stories are one to do. And this is a time, like I said, where local papers didn't do a lot of due diligence.
What?
Spoiler. They would just go, oh, really? We'll print that. I mean, how many times in investing things have you ran into that, David?
Probably five.
less than five, Dick. God. All the time, man. They would just like, hey, or what did they call that? Like yellow journalism where they didn't like look into it. You know, they just reported whatever.
Got to sell those papers. And then the little paper boys are over here. If I have 5 cents and you know, the Hammersmith goes, here's the photo. And then that person goes home and they talk to their family like this. Hi, how are you? How's everything doing?
Hello, I'm a paper boy. Yeah. I don't know if you know that or not.
How was work, honey? Oh, it was fine. And now I've got to do homework.
Yes, homework, which is working in the mine because it was the 1800s. So enter two women, the story likes to tell.
Finally.
One elderly and the other one pregnant, if you will. She's very pregnant. I'm sure it was a very normal pregnancy. Reported to have been seized by the ghost on two separate occasions while walking near the churchyard. And they were so frightened that they fucking died. Now, is there proof of that? No, there's no proof, but they still put that in the papers.
Mm.
I like this. They died from shock.
Yeah.
A few days after.
Yeah. Oh my God. A few days later, my heart gave out.
Human body's a resilient thing.
One was really old and the other one was pregnant and they died a few days later. Who knew?
Yeah.
In the middle of childbirth, she goes, scared.
Ghost.
Still scared. 48 to 72 hours later.
And then speaking of beer, a brewer's servant, Thomas Groom, later testified that while walking through the churchyard with a companion one night, close to 9 p.m., something rose from behind a tombstone and seized him by the throat.
That's great.
Sometimes you got
to
grab him by the throat.
How close were they to these tombstones? These
How many
graves?
Times do you
Are they walking
a
over graves?
Right? Hey,
or is it an arm like in Ghostbusters 2?
Oh,
when he grabs the baby.
Yeah, there was goo pouring out of everywhere during the time. Hearing this scuffle of obviously a ghostly apparition and a man and his companion. His companion is the one who turned around and the ghost gave me a twist around. He said, this is a quote, gave me a twist around and I saw nothing. I gave a bit of a push out with my fist and felt something soft like a great coat.
David, what do you charge for a twist around with a happy ending?
Probably $8 base price. And then
$8.
Sorry.
I mean, we're all thinking it.
$8, governor.
That's for true.
You want extra, you were looking at a guinea.
And then on December 29th, William Girdler.
Can I stop you real quick?
What's that?
Sorry, Brent. I wanted to point out a fun fact about Thomas Groom.
Yeah.
Ironically, never married.
I think that's why he was with a companion at night in a churchyard.
Just a companion, yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Mm. Then he turned around and saw what was grabbing the guy by the throat.
Mm. And he was like, ooh, I, as a companion, ought to add this to my repertoire.
William Girdler, which sounds like something some of you get out of
All right, you're never
going to
believe this, Brent.
Billy Girds.
So this on December 29th. A night watchman he was, and he saw the ghost while near Beaver Lane.
Yes!
He chased the bastard, as you do.
Wow.
Chase. Sometimes you got to chase him down Beaver Lane, you know? That doesn't come easy.
What is going on in Hammersmith?
It don't come easy. You know that Ringo song?
No, no one does.
Okay.
The apparition, we're going to put quotes around apparition here. Threw off its shroud and managed to escape as ghosts are what to do.
Wait a minute. It threw off.
Yeah. The night watchman goes, he threw off his coat or his ghostly shroud and was like, cheese it. Whoop, 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 whoop.
It's like the opposite of an invisibility cloak.
Yeah.
This seems to me to insinuate that Mr. Girdler was trying to get this ghost.
Wow.
If the ghost escaped, right? What?
I always tell everyone I know, if you see a demon, a ghost, anything, establish dominance immediately. Just pull your pecker out.
If you see a demon, say a demon.
They're like, I'm here for your soul. Start with my dick. They always turn away.
Yeah. Take it out through here.
Take me to Pleasure Town first there, Captain.
Take me to Beaver Lane first.
Yeah, we're going down Beaver Lane and someone's going to get to chewing on this log.
No girdles here.
I hope you're ready for a girdler. More like a girder. It's not very big. And well,
it's like the worst Batman villain.
The girdler. Well, Gerd is real. Mm-hmm. Stop. God, that,
find
that
it, Brent.
Again.
Find it. Find it. Find it quicker.
Find it. Lots of ghosts drop their sheets of blood, though. Isn't that true? Isn't that what we're doing with? We all know that. Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, ghosts, man. They just when you think you know them, one of them pulls out a penis. But anyway, this story all culminated in, much like all of our stories, fucking death. Death of one Thomas Millwood. And, not by the reported ghost, though. We're going to find that out. So that is more to the story. It's break time. We come back, 13% less penis talk and more murder on Hysteria 51.
Thank Crom.
Thank Crom is right. No
Thank
one needs,
Crom.
No one needs that kind of penis talk.
I'm going to hold you to it. Is it 13%
You're
going
to hold
less?
Me to penis talk?
Yeah, I walked right into that one.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today.
All right, sir. The death of Thomas Millwood. If you will, tell us a little story, Mr. Flora.
All right. So the date is January 3rd, 1804.
Just a few days later.
The time is 10:30 in the p.m., and it's at the corner of Beaver Lane once again.
Uh-oh. I said 13% less, so I'm going to skip this one.
Well, that beaver's not a penis.
Girls
no,
have
but the corner of Beaver Lane intersects with Cock Hedge.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Cock Hedge.
They call that Tank Corner, I think is what that is.
Is that Tank Corner? Yeah. There's just a little spot there in the middle of it.
Yeah, a little spot. And if you're lucky, it's not a grassy knoll.
So we return to ghost chaser and spectral shroud collector William Girdler.
Girdler. Girdler!
Girdler met one of the armed citizens patrolling the area.
Yeah.
29-year-old excise officer Francis Smith.
Yeah, Frankie people Smith.
Took up, yeah, they took up arms. They're like, well, the ghost's out. Get your guns. You know, literally, as you do. Now, England was a, you know, was a little wilder then, or maybe less wild. I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
This is only, what, about 15 years before the novel Frankenstein came out? Where
it's also about 15 years before Spring Hill Jack.
Yeah, well, and this is one of those things that it's kind of in the same vein of Spring Hill Jack almost. But yeah, so we got an armed man.
Yeah, and he was armed with a shotgun.
Get your scatter gun, boy. That'll take out a ghost.
Smith told Girdler he was going to look for the supposed ghost. Girdler agreed that he would join Smith after he had called the hour at 11 p.m.
11 p.m., everyone. That's my
it
English.
All's well.
He's a knocker-upper. No, he was an excise. But yeah, he's a tax man. Anyway, sorry about that.
They would take the ghost if possible.
Of course they were. I'm going to take that ghost on Beaver Lane.
And then they went their separate ways.
Yeah, yeah, take the ghost, man. So sometimes you got to.
Take the ghosts. just after 11 p.m., Smith encountered Thomas Millwood, a bricklayer who was wearing the normal white clothing of his trade.
Yeah, like, you know, like painters now wear white. Well, bricklayers at that time did. What was he wearing?
Here's the quote. Linen trousers entirely white, washed very clean, a waistcoat of flannel, apparently new, very white, and an apron, which he wore around him.
Yeah, so, you know, a ghost.
Millwood had been heading home from a visit to his parents and sister, who lived in Black Lion Lane.
Yeah, not as fun.
Well, I mean, you could take that in a couple different ways, but according to Millwood, Millwood's sister, Anne Millwood, mm-hmm. immediately after seeing her brother off, she heard Smith challenge him, saying, "Damn you! Who are you and what are you? Damn you, I'll shoot you."
Jesus, after with which, the guns.
After which Smith shot him in the left of the lower jaw and killed
Jesus,
him.
Jesus, man. That's boom, headshot. Crazy. Yeah.
That's what paranoia can do, yo.
Yeah, you're exactly right. People are getting, you we know, see they're taking up arms.
And, you know, we all know the only weakness for a ghost is bullets.
That is true. We were talking about that earlier.
I thought it was cocaine.
No, that's for actresses.
Or the decade of the 80s.
Yeah, well, you know, what you gonna do?
Mm. Anyway, after hearing the shot, Girdler and Smith's neighbor, one John Locke, no, not that John Locke.
I was going to say, wow.
Together with a George Stowe, met Smith, who, quote unquote, appeared very much agitated. And upon seeing Millwood's body, the others advised Smith to get the fuck out of there.
Hey, maybe you should go home.
Fuck off.
You just killed a ghost.
But leave the gun here.
Definitely not a bricklayer. Yeah,
take
right?
the cannoli.
Yeah.
Yeah. So gun, they told him. They told him to cheese it, and soon after, a constable arrived at the scene and took Smith into custody. Mm-hmm. So he didn't go home?
Well, or went and got him, you know, one or the other.
Went home and got him. So Millwood's corpse was carried to an inn where a surgeon, Flower, examined the body promptly on January 6th.
I had to have just smelled great laying there for like a couple days.
Mm.
That's 3 days later.
Promptly. It's
what do
like
we do with
the shock?
Body? Take it to the inn.
It's like the shock. It's like 3 days, you know?
Yeah.
And lo and behold, he pronounced him dead, and the death was the result of a gunshot wound on the left side of the lower jaw with a small shot, about size number 4, one of which had penetrated the vertebrae of the neck and injured the spinal marrow.
Yeah, so he'd shot him with a shotgun, and some of the buckshot went
through. And I hate it when my spinal marrow gets injured.
Spinal marrow opened for a flesh dumpster, and the last time you mm-hmm. saw them, right?
Yeah, And then, of course, Flesh Dumpster opened for Hatebeak, which is a real band. It's a death metal band with a parrot for a lead singer.
I didn't
think
they were a fucking reggae band, but thanks.
Well,
a death metal band with a parrot for a singer?
It's real.
Oh, my God.
It's fucking awesome is what it is. Anyway.
I mean, all you have to do is... right?
That's pretty much what it sounds like. You can listen. They're on Spotify.
Enough with this whole paranormal bullshit. Let's get to everyone's favorite part of the show. Trial the and loss. Woo! Yay! I don't know if you know this or not, but you should not go around shooting people if you think they're ghosts. That's a
even hey, if they're ghosts.
If you don't like it, why don't you fucking get out of the United States,
yeah,
bitch?
Yeah. That's a travel tip. Even if you're outside of the United States, it kind of got a stick in your pocket. It follows you pretty much wherever you go. I don't know if you know it. That, and as Dave Attell always says, if a finger, it feels like more than two fingers, it's probably a dick. Those are two things you can take with you. Kind of follows you wherever you go.
I mean, that's
all right. It's still at 13% less. So you're doing well.
Yep. So surprise, surprise, ghost slayer Francis Smith was tried for willful murder. That's willful. I was looking for there. Murder.
Willful Brimley.
he died of beatus. The deceased's wife even knew he was in danger because of how he had dressed. Literally. The dude's wife, who's Mrs. Fulbrook, not the same name, said that she'd warned him to cover up his white clothing with a greatcoat because people had already mistaken him for a ghost and tried to attack him before. But he's like, I'm no fucking pussy. I'm going out there and...
That's right.
I'm laying brick.
And who can afford a greatcoat? A good coat, maybe, but not a great coat.
Right. You know what? That's some shitty luck, especially twice. But we got a quote from Mrs. Fulbrook's testimony at the Old Bailey trial, as they called it. Let us know what he said there, Mr. Flora, or she, that is.
She said, on Saturday evening, he and I were at home, for he lived with me. He said he had frightened two ladies and a gentleman who were coming along the terrace in a carriage. For that the man said he dared to say, there goes the ghost. That he said he was no more a ghost than he was, and asked him, using a bad word, did he want a punch in the head? I begged him to change his dress. Thomas, says I, as there is a piece of work about the ghost and your clothes look white, pray do put on your great coat, that you may not run in any danger.
So I didn't know that Mrs. Fulbrook was in Monty Python.
Yeah. Yeah. Her parrot is dead. It's deceased, it turns out. It is no more. Oh, Millwood's sister testified that although Smith had called on her brother to stop or he would shoot, Smith fired a gun immediately. Like, hey, stop or you're like a bang. Gotcha. You
know. Maybe it was his mom who shot, like Sylvester Stallone. Stop or my mom will
shoot. Stop or my mom will shoot, yeah. Yep, that's right.
Estelle Getty reference. Thank you.
Lots of people came and declared that Smith was of good character. But fuck that. The chief judge, whose name is as fucking baller as it gets. All right, you guys ready for this? One Lord Chief Baron Sir Archibald MacDonald. Lord Chief Baron Sir Archibald MacDonald.
Wow.
Man, I only hope and aspire to be a Lord Baron, sir.
Don't forget the chief.
Lord, sorry.
Yeah, he doesn't Lord even think chief he could be Baron, a Lord sir. Chief Baron. That's like impossible.
Lord Chief Baron, sir.
Sir. Sir.
Wow. Esquire.
I mean, DDS. If you want to get technical, maybe the Lord and the Sir.
I don't know, but he's now a Monsignor as well in my mind. Oh, Archie.
Esquire.
Advised the jury that malice was not required of murder, merely an intent to kill, which obviously was there because he went out with a gun and killed the first dude he found in white. What did he say about it, sir? I'm letting you read all of these.
Oh, this is Lord Chief Baron,
this
sir?
This is Lord Chief Baron Sir Archibald MacDonald.
Let's give it as much gravity as possible.
I should betray my duty and injure the public security if I did not persist in asserting that this is a clear case of murder, if the facts be proved to your satisfaction. All killing whatsoever amounts to murder unless justified by the law or in self-defense. In cases of some involuntary acts or some sufficiently violent provocation, it becomes manslaughter. Not one of these circumstances occur here.
Harumph, harumph, harumph.
Harumph, harumph. I didn't get a harumph.
I didn't get a rump out of that guy over there.
Give the Lord Chief Baron Sir a harumph.
Harumph, harumph.
You watch your ass.
He said that Smith had neither acted in self-defense nor shot Millwood by accident, as we all kind of know. He had not been provoked by the supposed apparition, nor had he attempted to apprehend it. He just shot the motherfucker.
It's coming right for us.
Oh, my God. It's coming right for him. And Millwood had not committed any other offense to justify being shot. And even if that supposed ghost had been shot, it would not have been acceptable as frightening people while pretending to be a ghost if it wasn't a real ghost. Not a serious felony. It's what they called a far less serious misdemeanor, meriting only a small fine and not death upon sight. I don't know. So, yeah, The judge closed his remarks by reminding the jury that the previous good character of the accused meant nothing in the case. So fuck that dude.
Nice.
Wow.
I like to think he said that. I don't know if that's true or not. And old MacDonald directed the jury to find the to find him guilty of murder if they believe the facts presented by all the witnesses.
And if they were not pussies.
That is, if they were not pussies, and I don't think they were. They only considered for an hour, and then the jury returned a verdict of manslaughter, and Archie was like, fuck you. The court could not receive such a verdict. They must either find him guilty of murder or acquit him. And they returned again with a verdict of guilty.
Wait, can you do that? You can, if the jury comes back and says, here's our verdict, they can go, no.
Well, you can go, that's not what the option was. Like, you got to say he's guilty or not, and they go, it's manslaughter. Okay. He says, no, is he guilty of murder or not? Right.
Gotcha.
And after passing the customary sentence of death, which is what they did for all of these, MacDonald said that he intended to report the case to the king, who had power to commute the sentence, because he was like, I don't know if this dude should die because of this, because he only killed a bricklayer, and we don't respect bricklayers. It's 1804. and the initial sentence of hanging was commuted to 1 year's hard labor.
I believe it was hanging and dissection.
Well, they got to figure out what was wrong with him.
Sure, of course. Yeah.
Let's look at his brain.
It's for science.
Everything is. So, death to hard labor. We still got a ghost out there. This guy wasn't the ghost. Or maybe not. Maybe it's not a ghost. We're going to figure that out. After the break here, we're going to do a little ghost hunting on Hysteria 51.
You didn't tell me we were going to be hunting ghosts. I can't do that.
Always hunt ghosts.
Before they hunt you.
What kind of legal recourse are we dealing with here? Well, despite Smith escaping the gallows, as you do, or gallows, there was a widespread belief that the outcome was unsatisfactory, as the case has exposed a flaw in the legal system or code, or they thought there was. Like, what do you do in this situation? And what that was a sin on the lack of defense available to an individual acting in good faith and believing action, including violence, was necessary. Now, that probably needs to be on a case-by-case basis, and this one seems a little dubious at best to me. But having misunderstood a situation, in this situation with the Hammersmith ghost case, it was mentioned in a number of trials in the years that followed. Finally, the Court of Appeals settled the matter of what to do in a case like this. A
couple years later?
1984.
Holy shit!
180 years later.
Well, better late than never.
Yeah. It's a matter of Regina V. Williams. Gladstone Williams saw a man dragging a youth who was screaming out for help along the street. And he thought it was like excessive violence. He was attacking him, he thought. He thought the youngster was a victim of assault. So he hit and injured the supposed attacker, hoping to prevent them from killing or stealing or, hurting this person. Turns out, though, Williams had misread the situation. The victim was attempting to detain the youth, the actual offender, until police arrived. And Williams was arrested and subsequently convicted of assault, but appealed because he's like, fuck you. I thought I was doing the right thing. The appeal was successful and established that if an individual believed, even mistakenly, that force was necessary to protect himself or herself or to prevent a crime from being committed, then as long as the belief was reasonably held and the prosecution could not prove otherwise, no crime could have said to take place. I don't know that I feel that this is right when the dude went out looking for a ghost and shot the first thing he saw.
boy, oh boy.
I mean, it wasn't white.
It's true.
So
that's a hot take. Hot take.
Thank you.
I don't want to get too hot in this either, but I believe there was a case in the United States just a couple years ago where kind of the exact same thing happened, except one side wasn't a ghost.
Oh, I see. They what were, you're saying.
And I feel like this echoes that pretty closely. Do you guys think? Do you are you digging? Or what I'm,
I know
what
exactly
I'm
what
you
you're talking
for?
About. And
are you scooping what I'm pooping?
Moving on.
yeah, exactly.
Anyway, this principle was written into law 180 years, like we said, and the Hammersmith ghost was finally laid to rest, so to speak,
to haunt no more.
No, well, that might not exactly be true because who or what was the ghost? And we got a murder. So did we get another ghost? We got a couple more questions here, gentlemen. That part was not near as fun as the rest of the story. Laws. But the Hammersmith ghost was apprehended.
Did they have a trap?
No, it was a dude dressed up.
Oh.
At least the story goes to say.
It was a literal dude.
It was a dude. He said he was frightening people in retaliation for someone had scared his children by telling them ghost stories, so he wanted to scare the adults. I found what that in a fuck? Couple tellings of this, but not all of them. So take with you as you will, you know, you guys scared my peeps. So I'm going to scare you guys and people need to die.
wow.
It's just a misdemeanor. So you can carry on. No worries
about moving,
it. Yeah.
Just
know?
Small fine.
Yeah. But now because of all this,
we
got a real ghost of the local swear.
You think the market showed, hey, we can handle a ghost.
The
and
market
ghosts are like,
did.
We got to get to Hammersmith.
Hey, we need a ghost. You know, so call up the team. Remember old Thomas Millward, the guy, you know, the unfortunate bricklayer who just wanted to wear his uniform. He wasn't smart enough to wear a coat, but he was smart enough to wear his uniform to work. Anyway, that unlucky bastard still haunts the Black Lion pub where his body was laid to rest so they could check it out a couple days later. Yep, he's dead. Yep, I'm for sure he's dead.
Yeah.
And this pub displays a plaque recounting the story. And guess what, gentlemen?
What?
Drinkers hear their names whispered. Ooh. Computers turn themselves on upstairs. There's floorboards that creak. People hear them, you know, people walking behind them. They get pinched, you know, things like that. Because we all know bricklayers love to haunt.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. What do you guys think?
I think that there's certainly no explanation for somebody walking above you, except that it's a ghost. It doesn't matter if somebody lives there. That's
creak,
definitely
creak,
a ghost.
Creak, creak, creak. I don't know, man. I don't know. Houses that are a few hundred years old never settle, so don't worry about that. You know, you never hear weird noises.
Never
you know, it's
once.
Like when, you know, it's like that bleeding wall in my basement. We just made that an accent feature.
Yeah, it really is nice.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
You put a couple
stains
of
easily, though.
Plants on either side of it, frame it, put some recessed lighting in there, and man,
now
it
it's a focal
nice.
Point. It used to be terrifying. Now
yeah. you can build a room around that.
I mean, it's still
it really
terrifying.
Ties it together.
Here is the second fireplace, and that's the Hellmouth right there. So beautiful home, yeah. Beautiful home. Yeah. Nothing to worry about.
Mm.
I don't know this whole Hammersmith ghost murder case. It kind of remains a cautionary tale about consequences of mob mentality, man. Maybe don't. Now, as you said with Frankenstein, get your pitchforks and your.
That's right.
And your, what am I trying to say?
Well,
the fire. What is it called?
Oh, torches.
Torches. Thank you.
He was just
couldn't get
pushing
there.
His hand up in the air. I was like, I don't know what you're doing there.
You know, you take the law into your own hands. Unless you're too cool to play by your own, you know, the rules. You play by your own rules. And you got like a unusual pet and a mullet, you know. Then you got your own 80s TV show. And then you can play by your own rules. But otherwise.
I'm a loose cannon.
Yeah.
I play by my own rules.
I play by my own rules. Unless you know, if you're a movie starring a dude who got taken out by Bo Jackson. So anyway, you know, come on, think. Think the Boz.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he had an iguana as a pet.
Did he?
Yeah, and a mullet. He played by his own rules, man.
That's for sure.
I'm starting to think this guy plays by his own rules. It's inspired literary works, plays. There's modern retellings. You know, it captures the you know, the time. The supernatural was a big part of, you know, thoughts and things in England. Like you said, it was right before Spring Hill Jack. It's like just this thing that's still around. And you know, there's a bar you can go to and get pinched and your name called and stuff like that. You know, it's
I'd pay good money for that.
I would pay. Yeah. What was that thing you did earlier? I asked how much it costs. I've already forgot.
Twist and turn or whatever.
Yeah. Twist. Yeah. With a happy ending. I take the sad ending, please.
Yeah, me too.
But you know, fear is a hell of a drug. Tragedy, fear, you know, putting justice in the community's hands. And it's one of those things where the legacy endures as a reminder. There are dangers of hysteria. It's a compelling story. It's in the public consciousness. And that's kind of fun as long as you didn't get murdered by it.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're saying here is there's nothing like vigilante or pioneer justice. We're going to go with pioneer.
Is that
Frontier
more like a
justice.
Little House on the
Frontier
Prairie, Batman?
Justice. Yeah, got my pants on. I'm gonna get my gun.
This sounds like a prospector. A story.
Is that why you're hitting the bus?
You got a lot of pans on them, you know.
This sounds like a story that would have taken place in a middle of America, 2011.
And then we took up our guns and went and I shot Derek.
Sad but true. That is sad but true. It also could have happened in an episode of Murphy Brown. Isn't that painter? The painter friend of her was always in white.
Yeah, and a ghost.
Yeah.
He was never there.
And Murphy Brown, I don't know if you guys know that or not, but always packing. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, sure.
She brought the heat.
Speaking of always packing.
It surprises me that there's a somebody getting shot component to this story.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I just don't
now,
think, yeah.
Law-wise... I'm asking this because I don't know. Could the guy who was dressing up as the ghost be taken to court by the guy who was convicted of the murder
in
a wrongful
date?
Death
yes.
kind of thing?
Right? Like there's some amount of accountability, a
right.
percentage, right?
I would think.
And by the family of the guy that was murdered even also.
Yeah, huh? I think it's going to be more than a small fine, or at least I would fucking hope.
You know, it's a small this is not fine. Right?
Yeah, like, that's, you know, and he would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for
the your, for those damn kids.
Meddling kids and your dogs.
Mm.
Oh, man. Yeah,
Beaver Lane.
So,
man, the stories in Beaver Lane, right?
I tell you, that's
they're deep. It's
if you've got a story about Beaver Lane, we want to hear it. Beaver at Hysteria 51. No. no, but you can reach out to us. Facebook.com/Hysteria51pod is our regular Facebook page. Also, go to Facebook, look up Hysteria Nation. That is our chat group. We are very active in there. It's lots of fun. Patreon, you can get all these episodes for free, no ads. Or not for free, but ads from $1 on. So lots of goodies on there. Voicemail, we still need them. 773-669-7277. And you can find all of this at hysteria51.com. And then send a friend there. Send an enemy, a colleague. Send a Kevin.
A ghost.
Tell him about Kevin's show, Sad Times. Tell him about David's 19 shows, 5-Minute Frights, Quiz Quiz Bang Bang, Blurry Hysteria, Twist, what was it called? Twist from
Twist Around Happy Ending.
Twist Around Happy Ending.
That's his new one.
I didn't know, David. You'd cut back to 19 shows, huh?
Yeah,
I had to drop one.
Yeah,
you know, Murder He Wrote. Guys, get us in and tell us about some ghosts like this that you want to hear about, and if you would have found this guy guilty, or if was it all a sham?
Sham.
With that said. I've been Brent.
I've been Kevin.
I've been David.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria 51 Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth hand joint.